Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to call to order this meeting of the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. Welcome. It's Thursday, April 27th, 2017. We have a couple of public hearings and then some work sessions. So I'm going to have us start with what may be the simpler of the two House bills, that is House Bill 3055. And so I'm going to open a public hearing on that bill. Beth, can you tell us what it is?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3055 would clarify that a landowner is still allowed to seek a property line adjustment on the larger remnant of their land that was previously adjusted, but the smaller 2 and 5 acre units are not allowed to be expanded using the property line adjustment process.
Okay, let's have Dave and Kim Gauthier. Thanks.
If your many and numerous queries weren't so lengthy, we could have been on time.
We were on time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Dave Honeycutt, Oregonians in Action, here in support of House Bill 3055. This is a bill that was contentious over on the House side. It came out the House floor with a 58-0 vote, which is surprising since it's a Measure 49 bill, but it really is non-controversial. The purpose of the bill is to deal with a problem that was created last session with the passage of House Bill 2831. House Bill 2831, for those of you who are familiar with Measure 49, Measure 49 authorized property owners who had filed Measure 37 claims to create a couple of additional lots in a farm or forest zone on their property, and it specified that the lots could be, if it was high-value farm or forest land, the lots could be no larger than 2 acres. There was some controversy that developed over after the measure passed over whether or not a property owner could take the 2-acre lots and use a lot line adjustment statute, ORS 92-192, to make those parcels bigger. So could they, after they created the two 2-acre parcels, could they then go in with a lot through a lot line adjustment and expand the 2-acre parcel to say 5 acres and decrease the size of the remnant parcel? I've shown that this is about as fancy as I can get with PowerPoint, and I didn't even craft this particular PowerPoint. But what I try and show it here on this diagram, Farmer Jones, the farmer on the left, had a Measure 49 claim. He went through the express lane under Measure 49, and he got approval to create 2 additional 2-acre home sites. He did that with parcel A and parcel B, and he had a remainder. He has 60 acres. He has a remainder parcel, which is parcel C, which is 56 acres. So he's got 2 twos and a 56. What House Bill 2831 from last session was designed to do was to make sure that when Farmer Jones created parcel A and B, he couldn't come in at some point in the future and through a lot line adjustment and expand the size of parcel A and parcel B to, say, 5 acres and 5 acres, and correspondingly reduce the size of parcel C to 50 acres. Unfortunately, after House Bill 2831 wasn't particularly controversial either. Unfortunately, after the bill passed, Mr. Gauthier, who is sitting to my right, went in and had some difficulties with Polk County because the bill, House Bill 2831, could be read in a way that would not only prohibit a lot line adjustment of parcels A and B, but also a lot line adjustment of parcel C with parcel D. Mr. Gauthier will tell you, will give you the facts, but essentially the idea was the idea of House Bill 2831 was we're not going to allow an increase in the parcel size of A and B, but it certainly didn't intend to have any impact on parcel C and the ability of Farmer Jones to do a lot line adjustment on parcel C with his neighbor Farmer Smith on parcel D. There are a couple of counties that read the bill, read 2831 that way, however, and Mr. Goffrier was the unfortunate recipient of what we believe is incorrect, but nevertheless, you could read 2831 that way. So what House Bill 3055 does, and the only thing it does, is it says House Bill 2831 was really limited to lot line adjustments of parcel A and B, but it has no impact and still allows Farmer Jones to use the lot line adjustment for parcel C so that he can lot line adjust with Farmer Smith on D. That's the bill in a nutshell. And as I indicated, it came out of the House committee unanimously and off the House floor unanimously. So we would hope that you will move this bill along, and it's a small bill, but nevertheless, it's a good bill.
And thanks, Dave. Yes, Senator Roble.
And so if there was a river between the two, and the river changed course and took part of my C, and it makes no sense for me to have it anymore, I couldn't change it and put it into Part D with a lot line adjustment. Right now, in those counties that have made that decision.
Chair Denborough, Senator Roblin, assuming that C was the result of a remnant piece because
gotcha.
Of some Measure 49, there were parcels created under Measure 49, the answer to that is yes.
Okay, which is crazy. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter, why don't you help us see how this potentially could work in the real world?
Okay. I appreciate your time. Mr. Chairman and Committee.
If you could give us your name.
Tim Goffrier. For the last 40 years, we've farmed Christmas trees on two different farms in Polk County and in Marion County. In Polk County, we applied for a Measure 37 claim and were granted that to divide our 32-acre piece into two pieces, 10 acres with the home, the existing home, and then 22 acres that we now live on at that farm. In 2015, October of 2015, my neighbor, who I sold the home to, approached me and asked me if I would be willing to do a lot line adjustment with my piece, with his piece, to kind of clean up the property, give them a little more privacy, have their driveway would be totally private. And I told him I'd go talk to Polk County and just find out if that was possible. And I talked to Austin there in planning, and he said he saw no problem. He gave me the paperwork, told me to come back when we're ready. This was the middle of October. That's the time when we're gearing up for harvest and everything. So I procrastinated. And when things cooled down, I went in second week of January, and he said, well, hold it. Things have changed with House Bill 2831. He said, the way we interpret it, we're not going to go further with lot line adjustments. So then I go home and I'm thinking about it, because on our farm in South Salem, we have 60 acres. Under Measure 49, we were granted two 2-acre parcels and 156. So of that 56, I've got about 30 that are perfect for a vineyard, the right slope, the right soils, and the right elevation. And my neighbor has about 20 acres that qualifies like that. And so I approached him and asked him if he would be willing to consider a lot line adjustment, and he was. So after I got that news from Polk County, I thought, oh, I better go talk to Marion County. And they said the way they interpret 2831 is they were continuing with lot line adjustments. They said, you can apply for it, we can start the process, but warned me that if the state interprets it the way Polk County does, would put the brakes on. And so I went home and thought about it, and I called Dave Honeycutt and told him what our problem was, and he said that, as far as he was concerned, was unintended consequences of House Bill 2831, and that's pretty much what brings us here today. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to.
Thank you very much. Any questions, colleagues?
Just one more point, Mr. Chair. Just to note, House Bill 2831 was sponsored by Representative Helm. House Bill 3055 is also sponsored by Representative Helm. So he understood what we were trying to do.
Right. Yeah.
I do have one question.
Sure. Vice Chair.
Now that we've been through the process once, we're jumping into the fire again with this one. You think this is going to clean it up, or is some other kind of going to interpret it differently? Or is this pretty clear?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, I'm hoping that this is the last time that we have to deal with this particular issue. We've been told, we've shared this with the county planning directors, and the county planning directors believe that this solved the issue. So,
in Polk County, have you shared it with them in particular?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, great. Seeing no other questions, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify on this bill? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3055. We'll get it scheduled for a work session soon. Okay, let's open our public hearing on House Bill 2316. And Beth, could you tell us about this?
Mr. Chair, members, House Bill 2316 would require cities outside of a metropolitan area with a population of less than 25,000 to determine estimated housing needs for the area, inventory the supply of buildable lands, and adopt measures to accommodate the estimated housing need. And this would be required at the time of periodic or legislative review of a comprehensive plan that requires applying a statewide planning goal relating to buildable lands for residential use.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have two people signed up. Let's bring them both up. Ellen Miller and Thomas Mosher. And Ellen, if you could start us off, that would be great. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Dembrough, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee. For the record, Ellen Miller with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Thank you for the public hearing today on our bill, our agency bill, House Bill 2316. What the bill does is it codifies our current rule. Under our current rule, all cities are required, when they enter into a housing needs analysis and determine that there is a housing need, they must implement measures to address that need. So what this bill does is it requires that all cities per statute are required to implement those measures when they determine a need. Currently in statute, just cities with populations greater than 25,000 are required, and this was something that was added to statute in 1995. In 2008, there was a Court of Appeals opinion that stated that the smaller cities were not required to implement these housing need measures, because if the legislature intended in 1995 for smaller cities to meet this requirement, that they would have codified it or put it in statute at that time. So we're asking for your consideration in basically fixing the discrepancy between our rules and statute. A key point is that this would be a requirement when the cities actually make the decision to look at their housing needs analyses. So it is not an unfunded mandate in that we would require this outright. It would be when the city looks at their housing needs analysis, determines that there is a need, then they must implement the measures. So it would be required only if the city makes that voluntary decision to look at their housing needs analyses.
Okay, thank you. Thomas?
Chair Denbro, members of the committee, my name is Thomas Mosier. I'm here representing Central Oregon Land Watch. We think this is a good bill. We think uniformity in planning and codifying what already is rule is important. And we also believe that regardless of size, it's important for cities to take steps to assess future housing needs and to an inventory stocks of potential buildable land to help address those needs as they come forward. So we're in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ellen, so this problem first surfaced in 2008 with the court case, presumably. So why 10 years later are you just bringing it forward?
Chair Denbro, members of the committee, I have asked that question, and from what I understand is this is an idea that comes up most legislative sessions, and this year seemed to be the one that there was the most consensus on moving this particular legislative concept forward.
And are we seeing any cities with populations below 25,000 that are having housing needs?
I would actually defer that question to someone else in my agency that's here to talk about Goal 10 and our housing needs. Gordon Howard, if you wouldn't mind that I bring him
great.
On.
That would be great. Thanks, Gordon.
Thank you, Chair.
I know we generally think about housing needs, you know, with our bigger cities, but I'm just wondering, is this a statewide problem? So, if you would just introduce yourself.
Thank you, Chair Denbro. Gordon Howard with the Department of Land Conservation Development. In answer to your question, there are quite a few cities in the state that have identified housing needs that are under 25,000 population and have done housing needs analyses in the recent past. Examples include Hood River, which completed one last year. The city of Sandy worked as recently expanded their urban growth boundary to meet housing needs. City of Harrisburg in Linn counties. So there are quite a few cities around the state that are under that population that have housing needs and are doing housing needs analyses to try to address those needs, either by expanding their urban growth boundaries, increasing land efficiencies within their urban growth boundaries, or both.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Colleagues, any questions about this bill? Senator Linthicum, yes.
The interesting part about the requirement is, per your description of when only when, quote-unquote, a city picks up and looks at a housing needs analysis, do they need compliance with this? And yet we're hard fixing a date through 2020, I believe, is the projection target. If my city, quote unquote, doesn't pick that up for several years or whatever, the target is identified close on the horizon instead of farther out on the horizon. And I'm wondering if we as a legislative body really want to put those kinds of limits around if a city, and in my district there's only I think every municipality in my district is under $25,000, okay, and that includes five counties: Jackson County, Klamath County, Lake County, Crook County, and Deschutes County, not including the big boys Bend and Redmond. But all of those would then be forced into this land conservation requirement. And I'm curious about the artificial timelines that have been pulled out of thin air and placed on the requirements for cities.
So I'm sorry, Senator. So where is the date issue?
Let me pull up a copy of it here.
I mean, there's the 20-year review. Well, while you're looking, Ellen, did you want to respond?
Chair Denbro, members of the committee, I was unfamiliar with a target date. I know that the bill does mention the 20-year supply, which is part of current rule under Goal 10, that all cities must have a 20-year supply to meet their housing needs.
Yeah.
It very well could have been a misreading of the supply for the next 20 years versus 2020 as a line item in the text. And the analysis of housing need by type, density, and range, in terms of a larger city, it's easier to get a handle on that because you've got actually got industry going on. In the cities in our county, for example, the main industries are mostly agriculture, a lot of migrant populations moving in and out. And housing needs for those populations will certainly be different than housing needs for any stationary workforce that would be included in industrial or commercial environments.
Senator Roper.
So do we know how much one of these reviews costs in the sense of these small towns? Many of my small communities do not have a lot of resources, and doing a lot of this planning can sometimes be difficult. So I see this bill having excluded them in the past, possibly for reasons of that nature. And I understand. I mean, they don't know if they're going to have a housing problem because people come in so slowly. Usually they are people leaving these places. They're not coming to them. And so they don't see it as a real problem. Now I'm going to spend money when I can't put my potholes in order. I've got to have money spent on this particular activity. I guess that's a concern that I – any ideas on costs?
Yeah. Chair Dembrough, members of the committee, Senator Roblin, the price point that we have on these costs are the grants that we have given to these smaller jurisdictions in the past. Again, I want to make the point that this is triggered by city action. So at this time, right now, it would be if the cities voluntarily entered into a housing needs analysis. So I want to make clear on that point. But the grants that we have given in the past, I believe for Hood River, and Gordon may add some context to this, about $40,000 to $50,000 for these smaller cities to do these housing needs analyses.
Hello. And are there still grant monies out there and available for some of these? Because Hood River would be kind of right around the edge. I mean, that's getting close to that size, but not. And a bunch of these cities are very small. But what you're saying is, if they're a very small city and they don't want to do it, they don't have to. Once they do, they've got to keep doing it, right?
Senator Dembrough, Senator Roblin, members of the committee, yes, that is correct. Once they decide to do it, they need to implement the measures that they determine if they have a need. As far as the grant funds for the current biennium, we have given all of the grants for this biennium. Okay. And next biennium, due to budget cuts, it doesn't look like we will have those grants.
Okay. And just to follow up on Senator Roblin's question, it's probably for you, Gordon. Do cities that are in decline tend to do this kind of thing, or is it something that cities that, you know, see their populations going up and potentially running into housing issues, are they the ones that are more likely to apply for a grant?
Chair Dembrough, you're correct. Cities that are declining in population and don't see a lot of new housing units, they tend not to want to do or need to do housing needs analyses or update their housing work. It's the cities that are growing for whatever reason and feeling pressures on their land supply that are the ones who are thinking of doing this kind of work.
Any other questions?
Yes, I do
Vice Chair.
On page 4 of the bill, line 2, it says that periodic review pursuant to ORS 197-628 or at any other legislative review of the comprehensive plan. So if we decided next year to review the comprehensive plan, this bill would make every city do this review, won't it?
Chair Dembrough, Senator Olson, a periodic review is generally it's an overall review of a city's comprehensive plan that's done, has been done in the past, and it's required for only for cities over 10,000 population when the state has been able to give a city grant funds to conduct that periodic review. Otherwise, it would be considered an unfunded mandate. And so since if if a city were to receive periodic review or go into periodic review, they would be receiving grant funds from the state to conduct that review. And then they would, and that's going to be a matter of, you know, the legislature funding the periodic review program, and it's unlikely that that's going to occur in this biennium.
Follow up?
Yes, follow up.
Well, the first part of that sentence said periodic review, but the further on in the sentence is that at any other legislative review of the comprehensive plan that requires the application of a statewide planning goal relating to building lands for residential use, the city shall, according to the rules of the commission, determine and go through the process. So if we decided that we want to know how much land was out there, then every city under this would have to do this, whether they anticipate any growth or not. Is that correct?
Senator Olson, Chair Dembro, that would be correct. However, there's no provision in law that would mandate cities to do that at this point, or in our administrative rules. It's dependent upon funding being available to cities to do that work, which isn't available at this time.
All right, thank you very much. I'm sorry, Senator Linthicum.
Thank you, Chair. And I would like to follow on to a line of questioning that the chair started with regard to cities shrinking or whatnot. You may or may not be familiar with Senate Bill 432, which has one of those clauses. A county with a population of less than 50,000, based on the most recent federal decennial consensus, that has not experienced a population growth since the previous federal decennial census, or a local jurisdiction with 51% or more of its population within the county, in other words, not in cities, which is Klamath County and Lake County, for example. Those counties may avoid, and the bill goes on, in terms of this requirement, just flat out tagging a city size, do you think it's a fair requirement on those rural counties that have population shrinkage instead of population growth? If we're trying to achieve or answer a problem, the problem isn't occurring in those small cities. The problem is actually occurring in the large cities, and I would suggest legislative attempt on the original bill was 25,000 or larger, not 25,000 or smaller. And I'm wondering if you have thoughts on that original intent.
Chair Dembro, Senator Linthicum, members of the committee, that was in 1995, and I was not here at that time, so I can't speak to the legislative intent. But I can speak that if there are cities or county, and again, this bill only applies to cities, so if there are cities that are not growing and do not have housing needs, then they would not fall under this requirement of this bill. So again, it's only for cities that voluntarily enter into this housing needs analyses, determine that there is a need, they must implement those measures.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Vice Chair Olson.
I know this is already in OLIS and it's already in the record, but I want to make sure that it's clear. You had mentioned three cities that have already done this, but the fiscal impact statement said there's only 27 cities total that this would fit the criteria established by this measure. Out of the how many hundreds of small cities we have, but they say that, however, if the Department of Land Conservation and Development schedule more cities for periodic review, there will be costs associated with review and the new requirement, which goes back to what Senator Roblin was talking about. Cities report that they have received some grants in the past to do such work, but it is unknown whether such grants would be available to complete this work in the future. So the question is, we're broadening the scope. So I guess my question is, why? You don't have enough information? Cities don't provide enough information to you when they want to expand their UGB?
Chair Dembrough, Senator Olson, members of the committee, the answer to the question why is really so that there is clarity between our rules and between statute. That's the reason why we want you to consider this bill. The reason why to include all cities is maybe a more broader question that Gordon can answer, but just the fact that all of us in this state have some responsibility to work on our housing needs. And if we look at just specific cities to do that, it's not a comprehensive look of fulfilling those needs. So,
Senator Olson, Chair Dembrough, I think in answer to that, the cities that are growing in the state and might have housing needs are not limited to the cities over 25,000 population. And the idea, though, is that if a city voluntarily, in this case, because, you know, we aren't doing periodic review at this time because there isn't grant money to give cities to do that, if a city voluntarily chooses to look at its housing needs, it needs to follow through and actually implement the findings of its studies. In other words, this came about because of a city that did a housing needs analysis, determined that it was short of housing to meet its 20-year needs, and then took no actions to meet those needs, either by increasing densities within the existing city or by expanding their urban growth boundary, which are the two basic choices. And this bill would really make sure that cities in that situation of the population under 25,000 went ahead and followed through on the requirements of the study that they voluntarily went forward and commissioned. And that was the rule for all cities prior to the 1995 legislation by our administrative rules. And the bill that was passed by the legislature that year kind of muddied the waters. And this is an attempt to make the rules uniform again for all cities.
Senator Olson.
Thank you. That was a small town in eastern Oregon that doesn't really want to grow, right? I mean, that particular one, if I remember back, I think we have testimony here about it a while back. That basically everybody's frustrated. It's surrounded by EFU land that most of the people don't want to go encroach into. And so they did the study. It said you need to expand. There's not enough infill room. And they decided they didn't want to do that because they're trying to protect that farmland. So if I understand that right, do you know which town that was?
Senator Roblin, Chair Dembrough, the case involved the city of Madras.
That's right. Okay.
So, I mean, presumably, if we look at the process, you have a city that that thinks they may have a housing issue, so they go into a process to make that determination. They find that they do, in fact, can predict a housing shortage. Then they have to take some sort of action. Once they have discovered that, yes, indeed, if we don't take action, we're going to have a problem. They can't just live with the problem. They have to do something about the problem.
Senator Dembrough, Chair Dembrough, that is correct, yes.
It seems sensible to me.
Just in speaking,
yeah.
We had a little problem with Eugene in Springfield a few years back about urban growth boundaries and whether they should be expanded or not, with one city wanting to, another city not wanting to, one believing there wasn't a reason, the other one believing there was a reason. It took up a lot of our time a few years ago. Finally, we broke the two cities apart, basically. I think that's what the final outcome was. And I worry about we get into these things every once in a while. We have rules set up about why we don't want to take certain land, and then we force people to take land. And it keeps boggling my mind. I'm not necessarily opposed to this. I think that there are reasons if you actually ask for it and you go out and find you have a problem, I think you should do something about it. So I agree. It's just that I think we've gotten caught in a few different times with regard to this kind of issue in the past, and I got to look at it to figure out where it's at.
Okay. Yes, Vice Chair.
I think we, on the last panel on the other land use issue, I think this is kind of a very similar situation that we wrote a law and people identified it and
decided that this is what it did, and other people said, no, this is what it did. So now we're trying to fix it. And here, I don't understand why you just can't fix it in rules. You already have the rule. You know, why do we have to do a blanket for everybody, one size fits all, when we know in Oregon, you've got the west side where one side probably does fit all, but you've got the east side where it doesn't. And so that's just a question that I'm concerned about.
Chair Dembrough, Senator Olson, members of the committee, I am not an attorney, but from what I understand, because of that Court of Appeals opinion, our current rule will no longer hold up in court for those smaller cities. And I'm sorry, cities of population less than 25,000. So the current law then is set by that Court of Appeals opinion, and so smaller cities are currently not required to implement these measures when they determine they have a housing need.
Could you extrapolate as why they determined that it didn't hold up for smaller cities?
Chair Dembrough, Senator Olson, from what I understand is it was the court's opinion that if it was the legislative intent in 1995 to include all cities in statute, they would have included all cities in statute.
So maybe was it their intent?
There's only one person that was there.
Yeah. Yeah, was it? Right. I mean, I guess.
We look back, and we look back, he voted for it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess whether it was or not, we're not a court, we're the legislature.
Yeah. That's why we decide what's right.
Yeah,
we can.
So. Yep. Well, and we modify it all the time.
I would clarify that we decide what's right.
At this point at this particular moment in our individual lives.
Right. Sometimes we do.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, all three of you. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2316. Colleagues will schedule a work session on this and let me know if you have any questions about it. Okay, we have three work sessions to get through, and these are bills that we heard just last week, I think, late last week. Earlier this week?
Yeah,
okay, great. So I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2266. This is the one that has to do with the hatchery fund and the hatchery construction, the research center fund and the construction fund. Vice Chair Olson.
Chair Dembrough, I move to adopt the -82 amendment dated 4/25/17.
Vice Chair Olson has moved to adopt the -2 amendments dated 4/25/17. And what did those -2s do?
Mr. Chair, members, the -2 would add an emergency clause to the bill.
Okay. I did that.
We did ask him to do it. We did ask him to do it.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's twice now.
That. No, really.
That's 2 days in a row.
Any discussion of this measure?
That's the right thing to do.
Is there any objection? Oh, this is just adopting the -2s. Right.
Yep.
Any objection to adopting the -2s? Okay, so ordered.
Chair Dembrough, I move House Bill 2266A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson has moved House Bill 2266A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Is there any opposition to this motion? Okay, seeing none, so ordered, and our resident Beaver has requested the right to carry it.
Who's that?
Senator Gelzer.
Oh.
So.
After I had to put the emergency clause?
You can ask her about
you can,
it.
Yeah.
No, no.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you may still have your chance, Vice Chair. Okay, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 226A and open our work session on House Bill 2576A. Vice Chair.
Chair Dembrough, I move to adopt the -A3 amendment dated 4/24/17.
Isn't that another emergency clause.
Vice Chair Olson has moved to adopt the dash three amendments dated 4/24/17. And colleagues, just to remind you, these were the consensus amendments around the wildlife parks trafficking issue.
Yep.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, had it been an emergency clause, I would have withdrawn my motion.
Oops. Need a suspension of the rules. I don't think we can get it.
No.
Okay. Any objection to adopting the A3s?
No.
Seeing none, so ordered.
Chair Dimmer, I move House Bill 2576A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson has moved House Bill 2576A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections to the measure? Okay, seeing none, so ordered. Anyone feel like carrying this one?
I'll take it.
Okay. Vice Chair will carry. Close the work session on House Bill 2576A. In our final bill, I will open a work session on House Bill 3116A.
Chair Demereau, maybe I better ask first. Emergency clause.
It is.
Oh, no. No, I'm fine.
Vice Chair, I'm listening.
Chair Demereau, I move to adopt the dash A3 amendment dated 4/25/17.
Vice Chair Olson has moved to adopt the A3 dated 4/25/17.
Killed her.
Any discussion?
Just the question. Yeah. Remind me why the emergency was suggested.
I think it had to do. This is the candled eggs.
Right, candled
thing.
Eggs.
I think there was the thought that we're about to enter farmers market season
this summer. Okay. Yeah. This summer.
Right. So that they could go into production immediately with this. Okay.
There are appropriate times for emergency.
This is actually one of them. Yes.
And this is one.
Yep.
Okay. Any further discussion of the A3s? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Chair Dempster, I move House Bill 3116A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson has moved House Bill 3116A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none.
Okay.
Senator Brzezinski, so with that, I will close our work session on House Bill 3116A. And colleagues, I think that's it for us for today.
Okay.
So
back on Monday.
Have a great weekend. Yes. See you on Monday.
Are you going down?
We are adjourned.
Down?
We are adjourned. Yes. See you on Monday.
Are you going down?